Let's thank Maddie for sharing her story with us. So powerful. Well, good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you. My name is Eric, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I love you all so much. And it's a little extra aggressive, but when I miss you for a week, like I wasn't here last week, I got to give a little extra. I love you all so much, and I am so grateful that you are here today. But most importantly, the thing that I want you to always know is God loves you. Whether you're here for the first time, whether you love and follow Jesus, or you're just exploring him, you need to know he loves you. And I want to especially welcome everyone joining us here in the room, but also everyone joining us online through our YouTube channel, through Apple and Spotify podcast. I want to say hi to our Purpose Everywhere family. So those are the group of people, the several hundreds who join us every single week online for our worship service. I want to say hi to Tom in Florida. Him and I had a great theological email conversation. I want to say hi to Jimmy and Denise and Alexis out in Paris, California, who serve every month in our community meals, and the hundreds of you who join us online. We are so glad that you are a part of our Purpose Everywhere family. Well, let's open our Bibles together to Luke chapter 14. And while you're opening Luke chapter 14, just want to remind you and encourage you to bring your Bibles with you every Sunday, that we truly believe God's word is inspired and he has something very specific, life-changing that he wants to share with us. And so always want to encourage you to bring your Bibles with us. And as you're opening to Luke chapter 14, I just got to make a few announcements. Number one, December is coming, okay? And I know you guys, some of you are like, bro, it's not even Thanksgiving yet, but like Starbucks is all decked out in Christmas stuff and every Hobby Lobby, everywhere you go. We gotta talk about December, even though it's several weeks before December even begins, for one reason. December, statistically, is the greatest month with the highest probability of having success inviting someone to church. That the month of December is the best month to invite somebody to church who doesn't know Jesus. And this December, we're beginning a brand new series called Jesus Came for Everyone. Literally, this is the reason for the season. This is the beauty of the Christmas message. This is what Christmas is all about. That God, who created everyone, came for everyone on a rescue mission to save the world, to save each one of us. Now, the statistics are in our favor. Maybe some of you are nervous about inviting someone to church. But the truth is this: 80% of people who don't go to church say they'd attend if someone just asked them. And did you know that number goes through the roof if you offer to buy them like lunch or breakfast along with it? I'm telling you, that is a worthwhile investment. And so I want to ask you right now this question, as we're weeks away from December: who's your one more? Our vision at Purpose Church, why do we exist? Because we want to see everyone everywhere following Jesus. That's every vision for every church, for every Christian, every follower of Jesus. Everyone, everywhere following Jesus, which means there should be one more in your life, maybe several one mores in your life who don't know Jesus, that God has specifically and strategically put you in their path and in their journey. Who's your one more? Because at Purpose Church, there is always room for one more. There is always room for one more to follow Jesus and find life here in this community. And so begin praying now for your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends. Who is Jesus calling you and challenging you to invite? Here's the reality: 50% of Christians admit they haven't invited anyone to church in months. This December, the good people of Purpose Church, we're changing that, okay? We are gonna invite our one mores to come and experience Jesus. The other thing I want to do is I wanted to give you an update on our radical generosity initiatives. In November and December here at Purpose Church, we have a little bit of a tradition of, we believe God has called us to be radically generous over these next 2 months, particularly to live on mission, to be focused on the things that God has called us to. We are year round, but in November and December, we do a hyper focus on it. And one of our vision projects, one of our radical generosity goals, was to pack and send 750 Operation Christmas Child gifts to children in Asia, in Latin America, and all around the world with gifts and the good news of Jesus. But here's the thing, Purpose Church, you are a radically generous church. You didn't take 750 boxes, you took 1,000 boxes for kids all around the world. Now, yes, and I am very proud of you, but our work is not done yet. You need to bring those boxes back, okay? So if you keep them at home, you don't get the applause. You gotta come and bring them back with you. And so you have this Sunday was our first collection day, but there's a little bit of a grace period. So this next week, you can drop by the office, or last Sunday is the last opportunity. So make sure you bring your Operation Christmas Child boxes with you next Sunday or this week or today. And if you're filling out online, that's awesome. Do those online. We are so excited. We are so excited about what God is doing. I also want to give you an update on our last goal. We are prayerfully asking God to provide $1.4 million through the generosity of Purpose Church over the months of November and December. Now, I want to provide a little bit more clarity about that because I had a few people ask me some great clarifying questions. That $1.4 million over November and December, it includes regular tithes and regular offerings, and it also includes what we are prayerfully asking for all of us to say, Lord, what year-end gift over and above are you calling us to sacrifice and to give? I've talked with several people who have shared with me about how they've recently felt the Lord challenging them and encouraging them to start tithing, to start giving. And I want you to know we are so grateful for that. Thank you for joining Purpose Church on mission to see everyone everywhere following Jesus. Because when you give to God through Purpose Church, it doesn't just help worship services happen. It doesn't just impact your ministry that you're a part of. It literally goes to reach people in India. It helps little kids find and follow Jesus. It helps support our community meals, foster youth, help senior adults, our worship ministry, all over the place. And so that $1.4 million is a prayer that each one of us would tithe, that we would give, and that we would pray and say, Lord, what year-end gift are you inviting us to give? Now, we're not $1.4 million behind. It's actually an opportunity for us to catch up to our budget, which the budget we passed last year was a 6.5% increase. And so thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your prayers about this. Also, last Sunday, I shared that every $100 you give to God through Purpose Church, $35 goes to the next generation, $33 gets invested in men, women, seniors, worship, and recovery, and $32 gets invested in local and global missions and church planting. And someone asked me the question this week. They said, yeah, Eric, but what about operational costs? What about keeping the lights on? Where are those included in this? Well, because all of those things, the operational costs of Purpose Church or any other organization or company are necessary for us to do these things. What we've done is we've mapped those operational costs on top of each one of those, because without those operational costs, we can't fulfill these parts of the vision that God has given us. And so overall, I just want to thank you so much. And at Purpose Church, we really value reducing our operational costs as much as we can. In fact, over this last year, we have reduced our operational costs by 2%, and we have increased by 4% our program and ministry budgets. Now, some of you are like, Eric, this is amazing. I wish you could do a whole sermon on this. That's not today, okay? And some of you are like, I'm bored out of my mind. I don't know what's going on. Here's the gist. Here's like the one sentence line. Thank you for giving to God through Purpose Church. And would you join my wife, Sarah, and I, and your staff and everyone here in praying about how God is calling you to trust him, how God is calling you to join the mission, the vision to see everyone ever following Jesus. But if you want more details about this, you really geek out about this stuff, back in the lobby, we have a booklet for you called Where Will My Giving Go? Where our budgets are totally broken down because we want to be as transparent and as honest as we can be. Okay, now today. I remember when my wife, Sarah, and I were engaged. and we were preparing to be married. We had I had accepted a job as a youth pastor at a church near Pasadena, and so we found an apartment, and the arrangement was I was gonna move into the apartment 3 months before Sarah would move in after we got married. And so I began to think, okay, what is it that I need for survival in my apartment before Sarah moves in? And so I thought, well, there's really only three things that you need in an apartment. Number one, a futon, okay? And you need a futon because it doubles as a bed. And when you have guests, it's a couch. Like, it's perfect. There's nothing better than the futon. And so I was like, a futon, I need a TV, of course. And then number three, I need a microwave because anything that can't be microwaved isn't worth eating. You know what I mean? So it's just like the microwave, that was a joke. But anyway, the microwave is really important. So that's kind of what I had in this apartment. And then all of a sudden, as we were preparing to get married, Sarah started identifying that we needed a couple more things in our house. She said, well, we need an actual bed. We need a bed frame. We need some dishes. You can't just eat on paper plates. Like, we need some cooking utensils. We need throw pillows. What in the world is a throw pillow? We need multiple pillows. What are more? Why do you need? You need one pillow. That's all you need. What's going on? And we're kind of going through this, and I'm realizing, oh my goodness, we think about spending a little bit differently. Neither one is better than the other, but we just think about it a little bit differently. I remember once we got married, I discovered that Sarah is a little bit more of an early riser and goes to bed a little earlier. And at that time, I was a youth pastor, so I stayed up late hanging out with students. I would sleep in late. And sometimes at night, once Sarah had fallen asleep, I would catch up on some Netflix shows on my phone. And then every once in a while, I would find myself on Amazon. You ever been on Amazon before when you're bored? It's like going to the grocery store when you're hungry. Like, it's just bad news. And all of a sudden, I'm on Amazon, and I'm like, oh, that looks kind of cool. I never heard of that. I can't even pronounce that word, but I want that. And I would add that to the card. I would start adding other things to the card. And you see, at that time, I was still thinking, well, this is my money. You know, I've earned X amount of dollars. I could spend X amount of dollars. And one of the things the Lord really convicted me of and revealed to me that first year of our marriage is it's not my money. It's our money. It's God's money. In fact, today, I really want to encourage everyone to lean in, whether you're a junior high student or a high school student, maybe you got your first babysitting job, or you're working for Starbucks or In-N-Out, or maybe you're a young adult, you're balancing debt and a first job. Maybe you're beginning your career. Maybe you've started a family. Maybe you're on a fixed income. Maybe you're retired. Wherever you're at, I want to encourage all of us to lean in, because as we've said all series, God desires that we would have a fun, free, and fruitful relationship with money. And how we spend radically impacts whether we have that. And yet if we just have uncontrolled spending, it leads in an entirely different direction. See, we've created this acronym, the Rich Life, that we believe God has invited us into, which reveals the secret to having a fun, free, and fruitful relationship with money is through radical generosity, investing wisely, and today, as we talk about controlled spending. If you haven't gotten the book yet, we're highly recommending everyone at Purpose Church get the book, The Money Challenge. It's $10 in the merch store. You can go pick that up. And wherever you're at in your financial journey right now, I think this is going to help you to think biblically and to apply some biblical principles to your finances. But here's really kind of the thesis for the morning. Choose today what version of tomorrow you want. And you have more control than you think. To choose today the version of tomorrow you want. Uncontrolled spending is fun instantly. Hey, let's just be, at Purpose Church, we're just really honest, okay? It is more fun instantly to have just uncontrolled spending. Just buy whatever you want. That is more fun instantly. It's just like sin, okay? And if you're sinning right now and it's not fun, you're doing it wrong, okay? And I'm not gonna teach you how, but I'm just saying you're doing it wrong. Uncontrolled spending is fun instantly, but it financially enslaves. But here's the secret. Controlled spending is fun longer, and it brings financial peace. Now, I want to be even sensitive throughout this whole series. As we're talking about money, as the Bible talks so much about money, I know there are some of us here today who money is so tight, we're living paycheck to paycheck, we're not sure how we're gonna pay that bill. In fact, we feel enslaved by it. And so my hope today as we get really, really practical in talking about controlled spending is that the Spirit of God would just breathe this hope in you. that today, no matter what age or stage of life you're in, that you sense God has a better way and a possible way for you. Pastor Tomiko, in her sermon last Sunday, it was so brilliant. It was so good. Chris, you married up, man. I mean, you're a good dude, but she's just incredible. I mean, that was just a phenomenal, phenomenal sermon. And she said in her sermon this line that I've been just thinking about all week. She said, consistency is what compounds small efforts into big results. Today is about consistency. Today is about the small efforts each one of us can make that will yield big results. But we have to start here. Controlled spending begins with a commitment to budget differently. To budget differently than our friends, to budget differently than our family, to budget differently than the world. Jesus in Luke chapter 14 says, "And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.'" Okay, the first big point Jesus is making here is this: following Jesus is always costly, but it is always worth it. If you're among the 380 who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior for the first time just this year here at Purpose Church, we gotta be honest with you. Following Jesus is costly. In fact, he's gonna ask for your entire life, but here's the secret, here's the good news: it is always worth it. And to illustrate that, Jesus, he talks about how foolish it would be to have a goal, to have a dream without a plan. You see, having a fun, free, and fruitful relationship with money does not just require a goal, but you must have a plan. What's your controlled spending plan? Here's kind of a macro way to think about it, two macro ways to think about it in terms of a wise financial approach. You've got the 10-10-80 method and the 10-10-10-70 method. From a macro perspective, here's how I would want to encourage you to think about controlled spending and your finances. Tithe 10% to God through your local church. Save 10%, and then live and give off the remaining 80%. Now, some of you are at a place in life where you might be able to apply the tithing on 10%, saving on 10%, investing 10%, and then living and giving on the remaining 70%. But wherever you're at, I want to encourage you to lean into these, to think at a macro level, what would it look like for us to set up our budget to reflect this, to have some healthy margin? Controlled spending is fruitful because it will help you spot greed and envy in yourself. Now, sometimes when God wants to reveal sin to you, it's because he loves you. He always reveals sin to us, not to make us feel guilty and ashamed, but because he loves us and he wants better for us. God can use all kinds of methods to reveal sin in us. Sometimes he'll use other people confronting us. But did you know that God could reveal greed and envy in you simply by evaluating your spending habits? In Luke chapter 12, just two chapters earlier, it says, "Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' Jesus replied, 'Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?' Then he said to them, 'Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions.'" You know what stuck out to me the very first time that I read this verse in preparing for this sermon? How sad it is that 2,000 years after Jesus said these words, people and families are still fighting over money. Jesus says, you gotta watch out for greed, because the lie of the world is that life is found in having a ton of stuff. But Jesus, the perfect human, fully God, fully man, says actually, life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Life consists in practicing generosity. The English word Greek comes from the New Testament word, the Greek word for greed, which is pleonexia, and it means an insatiable desire for more. Here's what's so dangerous about greed. It will never satisfy. You will always be left empty. You will always be longing for more. See, maybe that's why Tina Tong, one of my good friends, we've been friends for 16 years now. Tina Tong, she's our worship producer. In fact, today is Tina Tong's birthday, so let's make some noise for Tina Tong. We love her. I've heard her say this dozens of times, money is a great servant, but a lousy God. This is just between you and the Lord. Is money a tool that you use to accomplish God's purposes? Or has money become a God that you worship? We've all had that excitement leading up to a new purchase. I was one of those idiots that stood in line for 6 hours for the first iPhone. Like the first iPhone ever, I was in line waiting for it. And I remember just being so excited. I was thinking about it days leading up to it. I remember opening it up and beginning to use it. And I woke up the next morning excited about this new device. And then what happened? The excitement faded. It just became another thing. See, this is an often untalked about reality. Everything you buy, everything you spend money on will require more time, money, and energy from you. So maybe we need to ask this question. Is that thing worth more of your time, energy, and money? How much more time, energy, and money will you spend repairing and fueling or charging that new car? These are just questions to evaluate. How much more time, energy, and money will you spend dry cleaning, folding, and matching those new clothes? How much more time, energy, and money will you spend setting up, configuring, updating, and accessorizing that new technology, especially if you have an inferior Android? It takes forever. Okay, next one. I'm sorry, Drew, that was for you. How much more time, energy, and money will you spend cleaning, furnishing, and maintaining that new apartment, condo, or home? And if we're honest with ourselves, and I'm talking to me, sometimes purchasing something new is more motivated by greed and envy than it is by necessity or enjoyment. Choose to spend your money on experiences, memory-making moments, and things that will be a blessing to others as well as a blessing to you. I remember reading once about a guy who had purchased several homes all across the country. One day he found himself in an airport. His family and friends were all at home celebrating some important day, and he's here at the airport. He's flying to Florida because there's a new building project or there's a new renovation he needs to do on his house, and after that, he's going to go to his next house and solve this problem. And he literally was lamenting as he was talking with this guy in the airport about how draining his life was. I mean, he had an abundance of possessions, but he didn't have freedom. Number two, controlled spending is freeing because you decide and see where every dollar goes. In Proverbs chapter 27, it says, "Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations." In the ancient world, flocks and herds were not just your income, but they were a way of spending. They were a part of your capital that would allow you to buy and acquire other things. And so the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, in this moment, is saying, pay careful attention to not just your income, but your spending as well. See, wise biblical financial stewardship says, I am going to pay attention to where every dollar goes. I mean, this is a very simple, but I believe it's a very liberating, helpful, basic idea. And it's this: it is difficult to increase your income immediately. How many, just raise your hand if you would love to increase your income right now. Oh, okay, and if you have your hands down, I'm not sure, okay? But I'm just saying, I think all of us at some point, okay, it'd be cool to raise our income, right? It is difficult to increase your income immediately, but it is easy to decrease your spending immediately. I mean, it's hard, it hurts, it's challenging, but it's oftentimes more doable more quickly than increasing. This is why one of my accountability partners, Justin, he texts me, and I've shared with you the accountability questions that he's holding me accountable to. One of those questions he texted me this week, Eric, are you living within your budget? Are you living within your budget? Are you willing to decrease some of your spending to have a fun, free, and fruitful relationship with money? Well, in order to do that, you've got to decide on a budget and stick to it. Pastor Tomiko talked about this last Sunday, how her and Chris, when they were preparing to get married, they did premarital counseling. And one of the things that the therapist identified was that financially they weren't on the same page. It was so interesting to hear that because 16 years ago or 17 years ago when Sarah and I were in premarital counseling, that's literally what the therapist said to us too. They said, they think that's an area you need to spend a little bit more time on. And to be honest, for years in our marriage, it was something we didn't give as much thought to. And we weren't as intentional about it. And then God's word continued to convict us and challenge us and inspire us that there's a better way. And so I want to ask you, what's your system? What's your plan for controlled spending? Here's just a couple resources. We've put them on our webpage. You can go to purposechurch.com/give. I'll talk about the way Sarah and I do it in a moment, but there's Dave Ramsey's Every Dollar app that you can download. There's Quicken, there's Monarch, there's Rocket Money. There's lots of great tools out there. Which ones are you using? What's your system and what's your plan? The one that Sarah and I have developed is the Holmstrom Budget and Expenses Google Sheet. And this is absolutely free. We've put it on our webpage. You can download it, make it your own. There's one for singles and there's one for marrieds. And essentially what we do is we log every single purchase. Every single purchase, we log it here and we get to see in each category what's left over in that category and then what's left over overall in our budget. And at the very end, on the right side of the document, is where you include what your income is, where you include what your tithing and savings, and then down below that is, what are those variable expenses? What are those expenses that you want to have a controlled approach to? And I got to tell you, this has been one of the most helpful tools in Sarah and I's marriage. Because in real time, we are actually seeing where our money that God has entrusted to us is actually going. And it allows us to actually think intentionally about where we need to tighten up in order to still practice controlled spending. Now, one of the categories that we have on there is allowance. And Sarah has an allowance and I have an allowance. And I think this is an important principle, whether you're a single or you're married, is the Bible says that God gives us resources for our enjoyment. And sometimes we can feel so guilty about spending money. Don't feel guilty about spending money. Feel guilty about overspending money. Once you decide prayerfully, either with some other people, by yourself, as you're praying, with your spouse, once you decide on what that allowance is, that's your area to enjoy. And what's awesome about this for Sarah and I is every time, you know, I want to get a Starbucks or she wants to buy that book, we don't like talk about it with each other. We don't have to get each other's permission. We just get to spend that within that controlled limit. Now, anything that we want to buy that's bigger than that, that's above our allowance, we have to have that conversation. And here's what I've experienced. It has created such freedom and guardrails in our marriage. I've told you that money is one of the leading causes of divorces. This system at large has helped us to build trust with each other and to keep our promises and to make sure that our spending is controlled and in line with God's desires. Next, I think you need to decide on a budget that invests. Maybe something to think about is, what would it look like to start saving 4 to 6 months of living expenses? Are you investing even a little bit into some kind of 529 or college fund for your kids? Does your employer offer any kind of matching program for retirement? Are you investing in stocks or real estate? Are you investing in your own future retirement? I mean, this is crazy. I don't know if any of you ever used the Dave Ramsey retirement calculator, but the other day I was looking at it and here's what I found. If an 18-year-old today opened a Roth IRA account, put in $7,000, which is the contribution limit for 1 year, at the age of 18 for the next 47 years, if the S&P 500 market, if it continued, if the return rate continued for these next 47 years that it did the last 47 years, which was 12.21%, if you put $7,000 in an account and never contributed another dollar for 47 years at the age of 65, that account would have $2.1 million in it. Every 18-year-old you know, help them figure this out. Help them think about this. You see, God wants you and I to have a fun, a free, and a fruitful relationship with money, but uncontrolled spending, it actually does the opposite. I mean, sure, there's some kind of immediate gratification, but it will cost you a fun, free, and fruitful relationship with money. And then I want to encourage you to decide to raise financially biblical kids. One of the things Sarah and I are trying to do with our kids is lift the hood on our budget and on our spending so we can help prepare them to be good financial stewards in the future, to be good money managers of God's resources in the future. We have this little zipper bag system with them where for every gift they get, any kind of dollars they get, they put 10% in give, they put 10% in save, and then they put 80% in spend. Unless it's a Chick-fil-A gift card, I don't really know how to divide that up. So the Chick-fil-A gift card's there, but that's how we divide it up. Give, save, and spend. And I remember watching my parents do this. I remember my parents had a checkbook, and you know, we have the Google Sheet digital system, but they had the checkbook. And I remember watching my parents write in purchases and then reduce, subtract their balance. And helped me understand that resources are finite and that God has called us to be wise stewards of it. Now, this is one of the downsides to credit cards. I'm not gonna bash credit cards, but it can be one of the downsides at times. Now, I bet there's some of us here today who are going, okay, Eric, I need a lot more than a sermon to get my finances in order. Maybe some of you are preparing to enter into adulthood. You want to get a job, but you got some college debt, or just you've made some bad financial decisions, or you're at an age and stage, you're like, I got to get this under control. We hear that. We love you, and we want to resource you and come alongside you. We are very committed to you having a fun, free, and fruitful relationship with money. And so in January, we are starting our Financial Peace University classes. Videos by Dave Ramsey, great facilitators here at the church. We're gonna have two of those, one on Wednesday nights, one on Sunday mornings. But if those don't work for you, we have other people in our church who would be willing to start these groups, to lead and facilitate these groups at other times. And so if one of these groups doesn't work for you, please reach out to us, email us. You can sign up for free at purposechurch.com/give, and then make sure that if one of these doesn't work for you, let us know, because we wanna start a group for you. And then lastly, controlled spending is fun because through it, you can enjoy God's gifts and be generous with everything. God can be trusted when it comes to everything, including money. And the reason we're talking about money for 4 weeks here at Purpose Church is because the Bible talks about money. And because it is one of the things that the enemy would love to use to keep us distracted. The Bible essentially says this: God owns everything. And when you give yourself to that idea and you go, okay, I'm gonna believe that, I'm gonna trust that, it's actually really free. Because when you have convinced yourself that you own everything, that means you could lose everything. That means it's all on you to provide for yourself and your family. That means you're gonna try to figure out, how can I take as much of it with me as when I go? And it just becomes very enslaving. But God owns everything. We are his money managers. God has called every single one of you, and me included, to be his money managers. Look at how Paul words it in 1 Timothy chapter 6 as he's ending this letter to a young ministry leader. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. What just brilliant, simple wisdom. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Paul is not saying it is a sin to be rich. He is saying to love money and to see it as an end and to have an idolatry about being rich. That's the problem. Being rich can be an incredible thing, an opportunity to be even more generous with what God has given you. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Now, maybe you read that and you go, Eric, I'm not rich. Do you know that if your household income is $24,000 or more a year, $24,000, you are among the 10% of the richest people in the world. $24,000 a year. It's likely Paul's talking to you. And maybe the question shouldn't be how much should I give, but how much should I keep? See, when we live on more than we make, there is no margin. Financial slavery sets in, and our relationship with money cannot be fun, free, and fruitful because it's sad, enslaving, and fearful. But there's a better way. In July of 2010, Alan and Violet, a married couple who lived in Canada, won the $11.2 million lottery. It was amazing. But a ton of reporters didn't show up to their house to interview them, and they weren't featured on TV programs because they won the $11.2 million lottery. Everybody wanted to hear their story because Alan and Violet gave it all away. They gave it to their family. They gave it to their church. They gave it to hospitals, to organizations. And when Alan and Violet were interviewed, they said, "We haven't bought one thing. We're quite happy with what we got. Money can't buy happiness." And here's what's crazy. 1 year later, Violet lost the battle to cancer, passed away. I mean, she could have spent that year spending $11.2 million. That would have been a wild year. But instead, she gave it all away, and her investment very literally outlived her. Friends, this is what is so powerful about living a generous life, about having controlled spending, which enables you to respond to the needs around you and to be faithful and to tithe to your local church and to be generous. Is you get to make an investment in things that will outlive you and in people's lives who you may never meet. That's why we say at Purpose Church, generous people transform the world. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." See, you will either trust in money or you will trust in God. And if you choose to trust in money, you will only find sadness, enslavement, and compounding fear. But if you choose to trust in God, money becomes a tool you can use to better serve God's purposes and plans that last for all eternity. Oh, that's the good news. That's the rich life. That's how to have a fun, free, and fruitful relationship with money. So one more time, where we began. Choose today what version of tomorrow you want. Uncontrolled spending is funner instantly. I know you're going to where you're like, hold on, Eric, I knew you didn't graduate college. Funner ain't a word. It actually is, you smarty pants. Okay, it is a real word. Uncontrolled spending is funner instantly, but it financially enslaves. However, controlled spending is funner longer, and it brings financial peace. Would you stand with me as we continue to worship God? Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you that you speak directly to the challenges, to the issues, to the opportunities of our day. Thank you that even the very finances that we have that we might be tricked into believing are ours, they all belong to you. It all belongs to you. And would you help each one of us to practice controlled spending, to honor and glorify you, and to have the kind of fun, free, and fruitful relationship with money that you desire for your people to have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.